Hey guys, what's up? It's Robin here from Bitchin' Over Wine podcast and the Savvy Bitch Lifestyle, built for potty mouths and not for pussies. Just want to welcome you to episode number 4. Today I am drinking this lovely fresh Cabernet Sauvignon, which doesn't make sense. It's a Sauvignon Blanc. Maybe I've had too many. Just kidding. And so I'm just enjoying this nice glass of wine. I'm at one of my old favorite bars. It used to be like an underground bar when I was a kid, but now it's called the Mill Street Pub in Orangeville. And that's a town that I lived in for about 13 years. And it happens to be owned by some people that I knew formerly from Big Time Boxing Club in Orangeville, and then also from TJ's Hangar Bar and Grill, which is a bar that I worked at for many, many years. Today's guest is a wonderful and lovely lady that I met through social media, and she contacted me because she wanted to do a little bit of modeling, and then I found out through our conversations that she is actually a bull rider. And I thought that was really fucking fantastic. And I find her extremely interesting. And I thought, she's somebody that I definitely want to talk to. She's also decided that she is going to be involved in stunt riding for film and TV. So she's currently linked with EMG Models, I believe. And so she's kind of taken it to a whole different level. So I wanted to chat with her a little bit about that today. I hope you guys will find her story interesting and motivating. She's a true businesswoman that owns her own stable, and she helps others, which is, you know, obviously something that, you know, sits well with me. So everybody, I just want to introduce you to Samantha Houston. How's it going?
Good. Hello, everyone.
Hey, so I just want to thank you quickly for jumping in on my podcast. And, you know, it's always nice when like-minded people are willing to get together and, you know, just share stories and kind of with the intent of motivating and building human connection. So thank you for that, and cheers.
Cheers.
Yeah.
I will never say no to a good chat and a drink.
Well, there you go. What are you drinking?
I've actually got a Pornstar cocktail today.
Ooh, I think that says a lot about your character.
Okay, well, normally yeah. I drink Jack Daniels, so we're switching it up today.
Oh, gosh, that's a whole other conversation.
So I would behave today since we're talking on mine.
You don't have to behave on my podcast. Like, there's no rules here. So if you want to get naked, go right ahead. So just a little bit about you. So you grew up in the Orangeville, Ontario area. Like, where'd you grow up?
I lived all over, actually. We lived in Bolton for a while, then I lived in Shelburne, and then we moved to Orangeville, and that's where we stayed. So I've sort of inhabited the whole of Dufferin County for most of my life. I lived in England for a little while, lived in Europe. I rodeo, so I've been all over Ontario. Seen most of the province, but still lots more to see. I went to Alberta.
So most of your travels, has that been a result of the riding, would you say?
Yeah, in the last 4 years, definitely. I never would have saw as much of the country as I have in the last 4 years if I hadn't been riding. It's been one of the most amazing experiences of my life.
Wow. So, like, as a child, what was your, you know, your upbringing like? Were you always living in the country, per se, or, you know, and what was your, like, day-to-day family life like?
Yes, I grew up on a farm. We always had our own horses. I hate the city. I still hate it. I lived in Toronto for 1 year and was the most miserable I've ever been in my life. I've always been surrounded by nature, animals, been very, very fortunate, had a very outdoorsy, on-the-go kind of lifestyle.
So how do you feel about traffic, then?
I
hate it too, and I don't mind the city. I grew up in the country too. I actually lived in a trailer park for better part of my life.
Nice.
Yeah, and literally, like, we were cow tippers. That's what we did.
Nice. You know? I've never done that, actually.
Oh, it's really cruel, actually. So I wouldn't advise it. It's not a very nice thing to do.
It'd probably get me back.
Yeah, but I mean, I grew up swimming or, like, skating on swamps and stuff like that would freeze over. They would have, like, duck hunting huts on them. So we'd have, like, bonfires and we'd camp out there and stuff like that. It was really cool.
Nice.
Yeah.
Sounds like my weekend.
Oh, wow. There you go. So when you were younger and, like, living this country lifestyle or whatever, did you know what you wanted to be when you grew up? Or, like, how did this happen for you?
No. I grew up actually thinking I would be a professor. Yeah, so the city that I hated, I figured I would live in it. I have a degree in medieval studies, and my plan was to actually move to the UK after my time at Oxford, and that didn't happen. And it was the best decision I ever made. I started riding bulls when I was in my last year of university and realized how much I hated academia, I hated writing papers, and just went back to what I grew up doing, which was being outdoors. But I had to go that full circle to get where I am now. Like, it doesn't surprise me that I do it because I spent a lot of time learning about cultures that are exactly like the culture I now inhabit, even though it's centuries apart.
Wow. I always found, like, medieval stuff really fascinating. Like, that was some of my costumes growing up. I always loved, like, that look. And, you know, even though I never really watched a lot of those films, per se, but I always enjoyed, like, the history of it and castles. And I just thought it was really enamoring. So that's really cool. So what's the worst job you've ever had?
Like, oh, my God. My first job. I worked at a deli in the grocery store in Shelburne.
Oh.
It was terrible. I still, to this day, cannot look at, like, a salami sandwich and they're completely sick. It was a terrible job. The manager was a bitch, and the staff were miserable, and I was miserable, and you made, like, $9 an hour. It sucked.
Yeah. Well, that might be good for some people. Well, the salami sounds kind of phallic, but...
That wasn't the only thing. Yeah. It was terrible.
My first job, I worked at a major food chain restaurant, and it wasn't, like... probably one of the most popular ones that you would think of that comes to mind, but I actually learned how to gut chickens and stuff them for rotisserie. I was a prep cook, was my very first job ever.
So. You know, I think I'd rather do that than spend time with the lunch meat.
And sometimes I still feel like I'm sticking my hands up the ass of a chicken, but just in a different way. Yeah. So, were you ever... Like, do you have any brothers and sisters?
No, just me.
Okay, you're an only
child.
So, like, did you grow up around guys or girls? Usually, like, close?
A little bit of both. Like, I would say today I have way more guy friends than girlfriends. I had two really close girlfriends growing up who now live, one lives in Lindsay and one lives in Orillia. And we spent, I've known my one friend Ashley since I was in junior kindergarten, and we are still close to this day, 25 years later. But most of my friends are boys. Boys and horses.
Boys and horses. Hey, that's a good combination. You know, I think that might be, like, a common thing with country girls because, like, most of my close guy friends and my longest standing friends are males. And I find that the similar thing is with most of my girlfriends that are, you know, country girls as well. Cool. So since you had a lot of guy friends, was there a lot of pranking going on?
You know... Not really. One of my friends did a really horrible thing to me once. A tweed rodeo last year, and I'll actually share it.
Oh, yeah, that's
We went to the beach, and his name is Big John. We call him Big John. He's about 6'3 and about 250 pounds of solid muscle. He can throw a round bale like it's a piece of paper. He likes to tease me and thought it would be funny to undo the back of my bathing suit and make me flash the whole of Trudeau Park.
Aww.
And he actually did it. I was sitting with Jen on the back of the golf cart, and all of a sudden I feel ping, and I thought, something is wrong.
Now, do you think that prank would be worse as an adolescent with no boobs, or do you think it was worse as an adult?
Probably it'd be worse as an adolescent. I mean, I don't have anything to hide, but it was just... I'm just shocked he did it. He kept threatening it.
Right.
I'll get him back.
So you started bull riding right in around the time that you were getting involved with your medieval stuff. Like, did you ever actually think that you would become a rider? Like,
no. When I started, my one and only goal was to just get on and ride, and there was this one bull I wanted to ride that was a former PBR bull. His name was Get Jiggy. He's about 1,500 pounds. He was 10 years old, and he rode was a bull on the professional tour in the States. And the only thing I wanted was just to ride him, and it didn't, like, it was much more baby steps than that. Like, when I started,
right.
I could barely hold the position on the drop barrel. And then I started, I rode a really, really tiny cab, and then I rode a steer. And then I moved up into cows, a couple of bull calves, and it just sort of went on from there. But as soon as I did that, I loved it.
So I lived on a farm during one period of my childhood. I actually lived in foster homes. I don't really share that very openly, but it was honestly like one of the better experiences because I learned how to ride horses there. I actually helped give birth to cows.
Nice.
And we had a bull there. His name was Sterling. He was the scariest motherfucker I think I've ever seen in my life. So... You know, and obviously being you know, on horses, there's always the chance of getting kicked or being thrown off. So does it hurt more to get kicked off a horse or a bull?
You know what? It hurts more when I fall off my horse, because when I fall off a bull, there's so much adrenaline. You know it's coming. You don't even think about it. I get back up and I just get on another one without even thinking. And, you know, well, for example, I was at work today and Whitaker, I'm leading him to the paddock, and he knocked into me and knocked me flat on the ground. And now I'm actually more sore than I was on the weekend when I rode 6 cows. It's all about the adrenaline and whether you're prepared for it or not.
Wow. So speaking of adrenaline and having male, being surrounded with males, are all male bull riders as hot as what you would see in a Nicholas Sparks movie?
I hated that Nicholas Sparks movie. I hated that
Me
movie.
Me too, but I liked the men.
No. I have lots of very good-looking friends, yes, but definitely. They're good guys. But they're good guys. Like, there's... It's a different relationship than you would think. Like, they've never treated me with anything but respect and friendship, and I would take that. And they've always got my back. Like, if I called one of them and said I need help, like, they're right there. And every time I ride and tie in, they are right there uttering words of encouragement. I have never once in 4 years ridden alone. They want to see me ride just as much as I want to ride. And I absolutely adore that about them. I love them all to death.
That's so nice. So, you know, there's obviously not a lot of female bull riders out there. So how do you find, has that been a challenge for you? Or do you really truly feel like you're just supported all around?
I really do. I feel like I'm supported all around. With my friends, anyway. I've had one little incident with one tour. But other than that, but it wasn't even to do with my friends. It was more administrative problem.
Okay.
But my friends have always been there. I have never once not been supported by them. They've always had my back. And when this event went on, that's when I saw how good of a friends I really had, because they all stood up for me and fought for me, even though there was nothing that could come of it. And I will never forget that.
And so, like, clearly it's, you know, I feel like a really nice confidence coming from you. Like, has it enhanced your life in any other ways? Like, even, like, from a business aspect?
Probably. I don't know. You look a big old bull in the eye, dealing with some corporate jerk is really not difficult. Maybe. I don't know. I've just always been like that. I just do what I want and do the things I love and am happy doing them. And I would say I've been very fortunate in my life to be able to do that and get something out of it that has enriched my life.
Now, has there ever been, like, a major challenge in your life that you've struggled to overcome that, you know, just the confidence that you have now has helped you do that?
Yeah, I would say last year when I went through that one little issue with my bull riding that I went through, that was the saddest year of my life. But getting over it, it turned into the best year of my life, where I had the best rides, made the 8 seconds, and ended up on an entirely different tour. And this year I actually have a chance to ride for real money in a buckle. So out of the worst experience of my life came one of the best experiences of my life. So things work out if you just kind of stick with it and don't ever give up or let anyone tell you that you shouldn't do it.
Yeah, fuck just those people. I don't like this. Okay, so now you are sort of venturing into stunt riding. Mm-hmm. And what I want to know is, you know, because I've done some stunt stuff in my film and TV work, and, you know, and it's all fight-based stuff. And it is very different because of camera angles and how other things come into play. So how is actual competition riding and you know, just regular riding as opposed to stunt riding? Like, how are they different, would you say?
Stunt riding is very coordinated. You need to have a horse that's very good with you falling off it, or explosions, or tools and props and swords and things like that. And it's very coordinated. So it's a close-up shot, a jump, or falling off. Falling off is a very...
Okay.
What we do a lot. Whereas pleasure riding, I'm trying not to fall off. But that's what, and the type of horse I would use. I mean, I need a horse that I can absolutely trust, and I was very blessed and fortunate at one time in my life. I had a horse like that. I had a horse that kings would have gone to war for at one time. Just something that's completely bomb-proof and indestructible, and something that you can just trust with your whole entire being to do the job that you need to do.
So with all this said, like, you know, from the time that you were a child up until now, what would you say has been the biggest shift or evolution for you? Like, you know, because a lot of people say that you change or things about your life or your personality changes every 7 years or, you know, or maybe that's just your taste buds. I don't really know. But like, what has been the biggest thing that you've noticed about yourself from when you were younger until now? Like the biggest change that you've seen?
I don't really know if I've changed all that much. I've just gotten a whole lot more stubborn. Like my entire life, I have never quit at anything. I am a giant pain in the ass when you try to tell me not to do something or try to roadblock me is pretty much the worst thing you could ever do. But I would say for me, it's probably running my business. I mean, when I started, like I said, I had planned on being a professor and having a job where I worked for someone else, and now I work for myself, which is a struggle in and of itself, because not only do I support myself through myself and no one else, no benefits, no nothing, it's just the challenge of constantly never having to give up when things get tough or you have a slow month or stuff's just not going the way you want.
Well, failure sucks, you know? Like, let's just be honest about that one. But I think it's how you deal with the failure is sort of, like,
and I generally,
the important thing.
Generally tend to deal with it by just sort of getting up, dusting off, and trying at it again until I get what I want. I mean, this year's been one of the best years, but also the most stressful years. If I make the 8 seconds one more time this year on the tour that I'm on, I win the buckle for the girls for the year, and you have no idea how disappointing it is when you ride and you buck off 3 times and you know you didn't get it that weekend. You cry your entire way home, but at the same time, you know you shouldn't be upset because I tried my ass off.
Yeah,
I like hung off the side. I hung up and didn't let go. Like, I know deep down to my very soul I tried as hard as I could, and it's like that with everything else in my life. But you still fight with yourself not to be upset because you want it that bad.
Mm-hmm. Awesome. So is there anything else other than bull riding and stunt riding that you would like to master? Is there anything that you're interested in learning and like wanting to do?
You know, not really. I mean, bull riding kind of takes over my life most of the time. Particularly, like, with my modeling and my acting, it would be nice to narrow that down more. I mean, I've done it kind of part-time, but I haven't actually committed to it to the point where I kind of go at it hardcore. So that's something for the future, definitely.
Okay.
Because I do enjoy it. It's like something completely different.
Mm-hmm. Now, looking at the world with all the shit that's going on, you know, we're hearing stuff in the news, like, Trump's, like, this huge farce, in my opinion, you know, like, it's just, like, to me, it's just a running joke with, what's going on in the the world of politics, and then we have all these disturbing things, you know, like what happened in Orlando this previous week where, you know, there was a massive shooting in a club and, you know, a singer from The Voice was shot and all this stuff, like, other than violence and politics, is there anything that, you know, is there anything that you would like to see changed in society?
Yeah, I think it would just be nice to see people get along better and just have more respect for each other and just know that when you walk down the street, you were safe among the people that were around you. That's one thing I hated about the city. I would walk around down there and think, I have no idea who this person is or what they're intentions could be towards me, and it just seems like people are just angry all the time. People just, I run into so many people, like, whether it's my clients or someone that my friends know, that just doesn't seem to like their life, and is either, they're either depressed, or they just don't have a good attitude or outlook, or they get into drugs or things they just shouldn't be doing, instead of just looking at possibly all the good things they have in their life, and all the potential they have to do what they want to do. And I feel like people have this thing where they get stuck in these slumps and they think, well, this is my life, and they don't realize that maybe they should just wake up and do what it is they actually want to do.
I feel like part of that is, like, a lot of people don't actually believe that they can. Like,
yeah.
I was there once, you know what I mean? And I just made that decision one day. I'm like, you know what? I am not going to serve the man, is what I call it, you know? I'm not going to serve other people's purpose. I'm going to serve my purpose, and I'm going to do and build what makes me happy, and take care of the people around me that I love. So, I mean, that kind of, you know, you sort of sum that up in a nutshell, actually.
My friend Liz nailed it down once. She said, it's your life and you need to live it. And I run into so many people, I think, that don't do that. And I think you get to a point in your life where you're going to regret that you didn't do that. And one thing I can say at 25 is, I don't do that. And I'm pretty proud of that.
Aw, that's awesome. So, you know, you're... We consider you an entrepreneur. You run a business, you know, and it's a multifaceted one. So what would you say is the most important thing that an entrepreneur should do in their daily routine?
Just market your business and have good relationships with your clients. That's the big thing, especially for my business, because I run into new people all the time. It's just find ways to make your business appealing to any potential customers and treat every customer as if it's your one and only customer, and just do your best, and that's about all you can do.
So don't be an asshole is what you're saying.
Yes. Just, and be fair.
Be an asshole. Okay, so for people, women that are entering, you know, entrepreneurial world or even, like, stunts, mm-hmm. like, what's your biggest piece of advice for them?
Just have a good plan for where you want to go and just try your hardest and make good connections. Don't ever let what may seem like the smallest, most insufficient conversation slip you by, because that could be the person that will make a huge influence in your life, like you did with me, Robin. Like the photographers and stuff I've shot with since meeting you, I mean, it has been a big improvement and brought lots of awesome experiences to my life. So yeah, don't take the little insufficient things for granted, because it's sometimes those things that end up making the biggest difference, whether it's getting another job or another client or just... Yeah, anything that seems like it's not important probably is.
Yeah, you know what? Like, that's one thing I really try my best to do is, like, when I find, like, certain connections, I try to build on them, you know, obviously, I mean, it just can't be anything or anyone, but, you know, like, everybody comes into our life for some purpose or another is what I think.
And I find it very interesting to try to discover what that purpose is, because I am a huge believer in that.
Well, I get dick pics. I don't know if that really serves a purpose in my business.
It's just entertaining.
Yeah.
It's just entertaining.
Like, here, I'm just going to send this to your wife. I wonder how she feel about this. Maybe we should create an art book. I'm going to sell it, and I'm going to make money off your penis. Oh, well, it was really nice to sit down with you, Samantha. I really appreciate you taking the time with me again. So is there anywhere on social media that people to follow you if they wanted to kind of keep up with your bull riding? And your...
Sure. I have Instagram.
Okay.
It's Samantha_Luso, spelled LUSO. And I do post some pictures on there from time to time. I also have the Snapchat, which I'm still learning how to work. I'm not exactly app savvy, MSA. But I have that as well, and it's Samantha_H_Jiggy.
Cool. Well, yeah. I've just learned Snapchat, like, to the nth degree, and I'm addicted.
Honestly, I'm still learning how to use it. My friends Jen and Ryan do it. They're, like, my only two friends.
It's
so if you guys want to add me, I need more friends.
Okay, well, we're going to Snapchat right now. That's what we're going to do.
I'm learning how to use it.
Awesome. All right, guys. Well, thanks for listening. My name is Robin Eaton from Bitchin' Over Wine podcast again and the Savvy Bitch Lifestyle. You can find me at all the usual places. So I have thesavvybitchlifestyle.com. I have the Savvy Bitch Lifestyle on Instagram. And you can also find my Facebook page, also called the Savvy Bitch Lifestyle. And you can also connect with me personally. I have some personal profiles. My name is Robin Eaton, and it's spelled Robynne. Eaton, EATON. I have my Facebook fan page and my personal profile. So if you'd like to be a guest on my podcast, a sponsor, or if you just want help learning how to build an online business, feel free to connect. And I just want to wish you a blessed, happy day. And I hope you hug and love all the ones that are near and dear and fucking kick some ass. Ciao.